Today's daf in Masechet Kiddushin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Tet. And we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on Ayin Chet Amud Beit at the bottom. Mi shenatan reshut ushlucho lekadesh et bito, ve'alach hu v'kidsha. So now the question is, we moved on from the issue of Ne'emanut to determine who has the rights in situations of suffet, and what the din would be. So over here, a person appointed a shliach, and he said to the shliach, go and be mekabel kedushin for my daughter if you find a good guy. I know that you got a lot of good contacts. And then he meets someone, and he likes the guy, and he accepts the kedushin from that guy. So then the din is that im shalo kadmu kedushav kedushin. So if we know that he was mekabel kedushin first, then it's his kiddushin that are accepted. V'im shal shlucho kadmo, kiddushav kiddushin. On the other hand, if the shliach was kedem, then the shliach's kiddushin is a proper kiddushin. Now this sounds a little bit obvious on the surface, but it isn't. Because the question is, when he went ahead and was mekabel kiddushin, since he had appointed someone to be mekabel kiddushin, it's very possible that his das was that I'm accepting kiddushin from this guy in case my shliach didn't find anybody. So that he didn't really have in mind to be mevatel the shlichut of the shliach. He wanted to have a backup plan because he wasn't sure that he would find anyone. Now, if that was the case, it really wouldn't matter. Because if we understand that to be an umdana, what it was that he was thinking, so then we would say that he was only mekabel, the kedushin himself, from someone in the event that the shliach hadn't found someone. It wouldn't matter who came first. So it'd be sort of like a tanai. So therefore, it's important for us to know that when he went ahead and was mekabel kedushin, he absolutely meant that to be the kedushin, and he had in mind not to pay any attention to what the shliach had done. Unless, of course, the shliach had already finished the shlichas before he was mevatel, that for sure. Now, how about if we don't know? So if we're not sure which one came first, and this woman wants to get married to someone else, so then obviously she would need a get from both of them. Or if they decide which one it is that she's going to marry, im rotzu, echad noten get v'echad kones. Obviously, there's no problem for her. She just has to make sure that she wasn't an eshes ish to the other one because we were misupak. And we have exactly the same situation, which seems a little odd why we would need to repeat it. We have exactly the same situation in a case where a woman gave rishus to a shliach to be mekabel kedushin for her. And then she went ahead and she was mekabel kedushin from someone else. So it seems like exactly the same case, right? The Gemara is going to discuss what the point is of mentioning the same thing twice. Seim shalach kadmu, if her own kedushin came first, so then her kedushin is kedushin. And again, here it's coming to tell us that what? That we do not think that maybe we should view it as a backup plan. She was only mekabel kedushin with the tenai that her shliach hadn't been mekabel kedushin. No, she meant this to be the kedushin, and she meant to cancel anything that the shliach would subsequently do. And im shal shlucha kadmo kiddushav kedushin. Now, obviously, if he was already mekabel kedushin before she was mevatel b'shlichut, so at that point his kedushin would be the kedushin. V'im ein an yodim, if we can't figure out who came first, shneim notim la get, and of course, in this case as well, one can give her a get, and the other one can be the real husband. So says the Gemara, it's the same exact case, right? So why do we need it? I'll tell you why. Vitzricha, because Yashvina Gavi Didei. Look, let's take the first case where the father was the one who accepted Kiddush. I would say that that's because he is actually relying on himself. And he says, look, I know as much about this as the Shliach does, and I can figure out whether this guy that I'll be Mekabel Kiddushin from is actually suitable in terms of his Yichusin. That's the main topic that we're dealing with over here in Asar Yuchsin. And so, this is not a backup plan. This is the guy that I want. Because of that, we can rely on the fact that he was mevatel the shlichut, and therefore, if his kedushin came first, we see it as an absolute commitment, and the shlichus is batel. Masha Enkin, if a woman accepts kedushin from someone, I would say she doesn't really trust herself to be able to do a clear-cut analysis of his yichus. She doesn't know the dinim, and she just knows, like, if he's a nice guy, but if that shliach does his job properly, then this is only a backup plan because I need somebody. And therefore, in the case of the woman, I would say that over there, she only did this as a plan in the event the shliach didn't come up with anyone. But if it turns out that the shliach does come up with someone, it wouldn't matter whether it's first or second. She never meant this to be her real kedushin. So maybe emalonavi kedusha kedushin, her own kedushin, maybe shouldn't be taken seriously. On the other hand, suppose the Tana said the second case first. Zeshmina gabi dida, I would say, okay, look, basically, a woman who's doing the job herself, she's going to do an awful lot of questioning. So she knows that this is the right guy. She asks around. But in the case of the father, over there, I would say, lo yichpat lei. I mean, look, he's just interested in getting his daughter married off. And he is not as interested. It's true that he could do a better job. But in this case, it could be that the father actually trusts the shliach. You know what? It could be that maybe what I chose is better, but I didn't need to be mavatal. I just meant it as a default in case he doesn't get somebody. Therefore, we need each one of these cases. Idman. How about if kicha via baderach v'kicha atzma be'ir? So what happened is, her father was mekabel kedushin. Now, the case doesn't make much sense, but it's going to turn out that the case that we're talking about over here, as the Gemara will show, is where this is the day in which she grows out of Na'arut into Bagrut. So if she was a Na'ara at the time that the father was Mekabel Kedushin, so then obviously the father's Kedushin is Kedushin. But if she was already a Bogeret, and it turns out that now that we meet her, we see she's already a Bogeret, so then the question is, maybe she was a Bogeret at the time that the father was Mekabel Kedushin also. That's going to be the way that we understand it. And that basically what this is opening up is the Pandora's box that we've spoken about in many different situations about a chazaka. Does the chazaka only extend from that point forwards? Or do we say also, being as we find something, we assume that this is the way that it was prior to the moment that we found it? That's what this is about. And this is obviously the place for it when it comes to the inyanim of who had the right to be Mekadesh, exactly what the Mishnah actually raises. So therefore, we want to get into this question, and we first present the case without much of an explanation, so it isn't clear what it has to do with being the same day in the city, and one is in one place, and then we meet up with her, Avarei Bogeret, and now it turns out that she's a Bogeret. Now, remember that the sugya in Nida describes, besides the normal halacha, which is that from the moment that a girl reaches puberty, she has exactly 6 months to be called a Nara. And after those 6 months, she automatically is called a Bogeret. So as we say, Ein bein Narut l'Bogrut, Ela shisha chodashim bilvad. But what about in the event that she presents actual secondary sexual signs of being a Bogeret? So over there, the Mishnah identifies what those signs are. They're all different levels of breast development, and that's very detailed, where you can do an actual examination at what point the nipples evolve to a particular way, or the breasts hang in a particular way, and that gives us, and then there's also one further issue, which is the development of the area around the genitals with the bulge and the pubes. So all of that is part of an actual physical sign of Bagrut. So there are physical differences between a Nara and a Bogeret. So first of all, there's the default situation in which if 6 months pass, she's a Bogeret. But then we also have to know that if she presents these signs of Bagrut and it's on the day that we have the expectation, because it's the end of the 6 months, it's the expectation of the time in which she will become, instead of a Nara, a Bogeret. And now the question is whether, at the beginning of the day, since we now find her to be a Bogeret, and that is an indication that she was a Bogeret at the beginning of the day, and therefore her father had no rights to be Mekabel the Kedushin, and the only Kedushin we should have to worry about is her own. So now the Gemara is going to examine precisely the case. Itmar. Now we know that we have a machlokas Rav and Shmuel in this issue, in which kicha via baderech v'kicha tzma be'ir, and we find her, and she is definitely a bogeret. So we do a physical examination. So Rav Amar, well, are you bogeret lefaneinu? Look, I mean, you see that she's a bogeret. You have to assume that she was a bogeret this morning too, and therefore the father had no right to be makabel the kedushin. So Shmuel says no, because maybe she just became a bogeret now, and therefore the father's kedushin might have been the kedushin because she was still a nara, and you have to be chashish for both kedushins, and therefore just as in our Mishnah, you need a get from both of them. So the same thing would be true over here. You need a get from both if she was to marry someone else, or the situation where one of them becomes the husband, the other one gives a get. In any event, says the Gemara, explain what the case is, please, because I don't understand what's going on. Ema, when did this story happen? Was it during the 6 months? Ilam betoch shisha, as we said, ein bein na'arut l'bagrut, ela shisha chodashim bilvad. So did this take place during those 6 months? So then, how would Rav say, here she is, she's a bogeret? I mean, that's ridiculous. We know that she wasn't actually physically destined to become a bogeret until the end of those 6 months. He's not going to say, well, now she's a bogeret, she was a bogeret this morning. I mean, that doesn't make any difference. There's no reason to say that she was a bogeret earlier than to say she was an hour earlier. I mean, there's no way that he would say, vadai, she's a bogeret. Hello, so what are we talking about? That it was after the 6 months. Then there's nothing to discuss. How would Shmuel say, you have to worry about both of them? The father has no rights over her because it was Shmuel himself who said to Halacha that ein bein na'arut l'bagrut ela shisha chodashim bilvad. So therefore, I don't understand the case. Answers the Gemara, there's only one possible explanation. And that is that we need this discussion. Rav and Shmuel, the Kaddish Bahu Yuma de Mashlim Shisha. It was today that she gets into the post 6 months period. So therefore, Rav says, since we now find her to be a Bogeret, so Midahash the Bogeret, if now in the evening she's a Bogeret, so then Betzafra Nami Bogeret. And we have to assume that this morning she was also a Bogeret. Where Shmuel says, no, maybe she only developed the Simone Bagrut at the afternoon, and therefore there's no raya that in the morning she was a bogeret. Now, here we get into the long history of the various discussions that we've had in the past, and I'm sure you'll recall them all, about exactly these types of cases where something was in a particular situation, is discovered subsequently to be in another situation, and now the question is, do we extend the current situation backwards, or do we extend the previous situation forwards, because we have basically a contradiction in how it is that we would view the chazaka, right? So the classic case was a mikveh. Now the mikveh was checked at one point, it was a kosher mikveh, and it had the requisite arboim sah of water. So the question is, according to Shmuel, who says, no, we don't think about the possibility that what we see now is what was before. We assume that what we see now, that she's a bogeret, only is relevant to this point forwards. Okay, then how does he explain why, in the case of the mikveh, that's not what we assume? So that's not. So in the case, this was the famous opening, well, I shouldn't say opening, but close to the beginning of mikvahs, where we have this question of a mikvah that was checked after having been first established as being a kosher mikvah, and now we find that it doesn't have arboim sa. The halacha is that going back all the way to the last time that you checked it, limafreya, anything that had been toveled in this mikveh, anything tummy that had been toveled in this mikveh, has to be assumed to be tummy, and the mikveh at the time was not a kosher mikveh, and if you used those kelim to process tyres, then you have to assume that those tyres are all tummy. Now, just to make sure that you don't think that this is a din in Suffolk, and it's tummy mitzad a Suffolk, remember that when it comes to a Suffolk tumor, Bershut HaRabim, the din is, and we learn out from Halacha of Seita, Halacha Labesh B'Sinai, that such a suffix is Tahar. And it says over here in the Mishnah, Beferish, it makes absolutely no difference to us, whether Bein Bershut HaYachid, Bein Bershut HaRabim, makes no difference where the mikveh is. In all events, we consider everything to be positively tameh, which means that we look at it as a vadai tuma, not as a suffix tuma. Because if it was a suffix tuma, it would depend where the suffix was nailon. If it was in Rishus HaRabim, then we would say that it's sacred as tar. So here we're saying that the current chazaka, meaning we found it to be chaser, extends backwards to the last known moment when the mikveh was shalom. Well, that's exactly the opposite of what it was that Shmuel said. Shmuel said that, no, we look at the current situation as having changed at the last moment. So now in the afternoon, we find her to be a bogeret. Since before this, she wasn't a bogeret, we don't extend the findings, the current findings, backwards. We only extend it forwards in time. So from this point on, she has a chazaka of a bogeret, but up until the very last minute that we found her, she is considered to be a naira, because that's what she was. Well, I mean, if we would take Shmuel's halacha and put it into the place here, a mikveh, we would say the same thing. We knew that the mikveh was shalem, and therefore we should extend that cheskes of shlemus until the very last moment, where now we see that it's chaser. So apparently the Mishnah is a tiyuv on Shmuel. No, come on, it's very different. Shani Hassan, in the case of the mikveh, the food, or the individual, the container that you are dealing, we're talking about, sorry. So over there, because the food and the container viewed as one thing, according to Mevos Rishoni, that's why I say the food, but the truth is there's other shittas about that, I shouldn't say the food. But the container that you had been tevel in this mikveh had a cheskes tuma, did it not? Before? So, okay, then, if it had a cheskes tuma, then we should assume that he was not tava. So let's keep the item with its chazaka. Well, I mean, why would we do that? We know that we actually put this kli into a mikveh, right? So, I mean, why would we look at what the chazaka was on the kli? The bottom line of what it is that we need to evaluate is, what's the din of the mikveh? Because whatever it was that the mikveh was would absolutely define what the kli currently is. So it's really irrelevant to us, isn't it, that the kli had a cheskes tuma from before? I mean, we should say, let us go according to the status of the mikveh. Hamed mikveh cheskaso, and say it wasn't chaser, and we know for sure that we put this kli into the mikveh, and then they should all be tahar. Well, we can't say that, because after all, I mean, what we're looking at is not a kosher mikveh. I mean, we're looking at a chaser mikveh right here in front of you. So, assuming that that chazak extends into the past because of a current situation, we can say, therefore, that the current situation is indicative that this was the situation if we would have looked at it a moment ago, or if we would have looked at it a day ago. So that's exactly the issue, right? So you're telling me, are chaser lefanecha? Well, the problem is, since it's chaser, therefore we can't rely on it. But I don't understand. That's exactly what we're talking about, Shmuel. Here, too, we have the bogeret lefanecha. Now, why are you saying with the mikveh that the din is that we extend the chazaka into the past and we say you can't say that the mikveh was kosher? Same thing is true over here. You can't say that this woman was a child who was unable to accept her kedushin. We're looking at her and she's a bogeret right now. Yeah, but maybe she only became a bogeret now. You know, you're running around in circles. The same thing is true about the mikveh. So maybe the mikveh only became chaser now. I don't understand. I mean, we're talking about processes, right? So, I mean, it's obviously not an instantaneous change. There is a tipping point. I mean, so if you're looking at the tipping point where we go immediately underneath our boyim saw, and we're looking at the tipping point at which at some point now where she's considered to be a bogeret, so then it's exactly the same situation. If you need to push off the tipping point, in the case of the Bogeret, so then you should push off the tipping point in the case of the mikveh too. Why are we extending it into the past? It was at this moment that it was chaser, less than arbonim. Ah, but the point is that in the case of the mikveh, you have two chazokas, both of which are telling you, you're going to have to assume that we have tuma over here, because the bottom line is that trying to utilize the cheskas mole of that mikveh from before and extending it forward, that is challenged, obviously, by the fact that arechoser lefanecha. Put that together with the fact that the only psak that we're giving you is to say anything that was tameh that was put into that mikveh remains tameh. We're not saying it became tameh. We're saying it remains tameh, right? Okay, so then basically you have two chazakas that are arguing, mitigating against your claiming that there's a chance that there was tyra here. But in our case, you only have choda l'reyusa. When it comes to the question that we should say the father's kedushin, father's kedushin is not a kedushin. What's the basis of our saying the father's kedushin is not a kedushin? Only one issue, that we find her to be a bogeres now. But that doesn't tell us that in the morning we should also ignore it. I mean, we have a chazaka to be from before, that she was a nara, and we don't have any other element to consider. So therefore, there's no problem, according to Shmuel, because one of the cases, the case in the Mishnah in Mikvos, is talking about a double chazaka against the psak of Tyra. Hashem came over here, there's only a single chazaka against the father's kedusha being a kedusha. You can't rely on that. Very simple. Okay, I hear you. That makes sense. But we have another case, actually, from a brisa. And every time we bring up the sugya of a mikveh, we always bring this up. So it's going to sound very familiar to you as well. A guy has a barrel full of delicious wine, and he sets it aside with a little note on it that says, all of this is truma, only kosher for kohanim. It isn't truma yet. But what he does is, for the next 6 months, every time he opens up a barrel of new wine, he takes off truma, but he says the truma on this barrel is to be found in the barrel in my storeroom downstairs that I set aside that says truma on it. So after doing, let's say, 20 times, he takes off truma from that barrel. Well, I mean, depending on the size, if it's the same, it would be 50 times, right? So every time he takes off truma from the barrel, and he puts a little marker, okay, this is the 50th time. Now that entire barrel is truma, and it has no more tevel left in it that could become truma. Great. Now the problem is that if during the time that the barrel was in his cellar, it had turned into vinegar, then from the point that it was vinegar, he was not able to be yotzei the giving of truma with vinegar on wine. Now, that truth is, that's a machlokas. But obviously, the entire brisa here is predicated on the shita that vinegar and wine are the equivalent of two separate species. And vinegar is not considered to be low-quality wine. Fine. So therefore, it wouldn't be truma at all. So we have the obvious situation. A guy keeps checking a barrel of wine. So he's bodek et achavid in order to be able to continue using it to keep taking off truma. La frisha la truma v'alech, and he keeps doing this. Now, so let's say he's bodek it every week, and now he checks it, and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, sometime or another, since the last time I checked it, it became vinegar. So what's the halacha? So there, the halacha is that for 3 days, it's considered to be vadai. And for after that, it's considered to be suffix. Now, there's a big machlokas in the Gemara, in Bava Basra, about what that means. Some learn it means the first 3 days after you checked it last Friday and knew it was wine, well, those 3 days, for sure, it remains wine. Because of the time that it takes for it to become vinegar, and even if it started to ferment, it would have taken 3 days for it to lose the name of yayin. Others learn that it means, no, just the opposite. 3 days in the past, we have to assume that it was vinegar, because from that time, we have, if it's totally vinegar now, then 3 days before was already the point at which it was so terrible, it wouldn't be considered to be wine. Fine. Whatever it is, there's other shittas that put both together, and that it's the time in the middle, that it's a suffix. But the bottom line is that we find that there is a suffix over here. Fine. So far, we don't have a clear kasha. Now, the problem is that the Gemara itself asked on this, over there in Baba Basra. So the Gemara says, why are we treating a barrel of wine differently than we're treating the mikveh that was chaser? Because in the case of the mikveh, we said it's absolutely sure, even in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, where Suffolk Tumah Rosh Hashanah Rabbim ought to be tahor. We're saying, well, we don't have any doubts about it. We're treating it as a vadai. So how come over there, in the case of the mikveh, we say it's a vadai, and over here it says, we're not sure? Whatever the not sure period is, not sure after 3 days, between the two sets of 3 days, whatever it is, but we're certainly saying that we are not going to take the current chazaka, that it's vinegar, and say that, well, that means that until we know otherwise, going backwards in time, we consider the chazaka to be vinegar. We're not going to say that. Why? And why do we leave it up in the air? Now, Rabbi Chanina Misura, I should say, answered in the Gemara over there, and he said, you know why it's no contradiction? Because it's going according to two different Mandi Omrim. The Mandi Omer who taught this halacha about the Chavis is actually Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon's Shita is that the same thing is true by the mikveh. So therefore, that there's no contradiction. Because Gabi mikveh namis feka mashva. I'm going to show you a braita in which you will see that according to Rabbi Shimon, the same case that we had in the mikveh, according to Rabbi Shimon, it says in the braisa, kol taharot shenasu al gabav lemafreya, says the Tanakama, yes, bein b'shut hayochid, bein b'shut harabim t'meyot, whereas Rabbi Shimon says that's not true. In Rishus HaRabim, actually, since the Suffolk Tumah Rishus HaRabim is tahar, all of the sveikas would be tahar. And Rishut HaYachid, over there, we are misupak, and therefore we have to say tailin, and it's going to be a question. You're not allowed to burn kachim on the basis of truma, on the basis of a question. Maybe it's tome, so we say tolin. So now, this is because the fundamental approach of Rabbi Shimon is that you cannot learn out from Seita anything unless there's raglayim ladavar, the same way there is in Seita. So the fact that the Torah considers the Seita to be asura on her husband is because we have confirmation, circumstantial confirmation, that she must have been making out with this guy. Why is she now alone with him again after her husband warned her not to be alone? That's called raglayim ladavar, circumstantial indications. We do not have such a situation at all in these other sfeikas, and therefore, Rabbi Rabbi Shimon, we don't learn out the halacha from Seita. So fine, so according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no problem, and therefore, there's no contradiction. Now, what does this have to do with us? Because, consider, the Gemara is coming out over there that the only time that we say that it would be a suffix was al libe de Rabbi Shimon. But what would be the din to the Rabbanan? According to Rabbanan, arguing with Rabbi Shimon, they would say that we take the current situation in which we find it to be vinegar, and we would go and say that it's tevel all the way from beginning. Because you said the mikveh and the chavis yayin are treated in exactly the same way. Now, according to Shmuel, you're going to be able to answer it the same way? No, because we don't have that tartilareyasa, right? So then Shmuel, I mean, we're assuming Shmuel would pass him like Rabbanon against Reb Shimon. So Shmuel should say that if we find a girl, a bogeret now, she should have been considered a bogeret before, at the beginning of the day. In the same way that if we find the barrel is full of vinegar now, then we have to assume that it was vinegar until the last time that we knew otherwise. So why is it different? Well, says the Gemara, isn't it different? I mean, we have a chazaka on the product that you try to make kosher by taking tevel, by taking the truma from the tevel. So what do you want to say now? That we should assume it was good truma? The tevel is usur. So that's the same thing as the tame being tame. So the same way we said, look, the container that you put into that mikveh was tame, the same thing is true over here. The container of wine from which you took out the truma was definitely tevel. Now you want to change its status, and you want to say that it's no longer tevel because you took out truma. You can't say that. You have to go according to chazaka. And now we'll go through the same level of understanding. Why don't we say just the opposite? Because basically it's not really a function of whether there was tevel here. It's only a function of whether there was wine in that barrel down in the wine basement, right? So why don't we say, according to what you're telling me, the yayin had a chazaka. There was yayin. Let's extend that chazaka into the future. And we should say it was not vinegar at the time that I took off the truma from this barrel. And therefore, forget about the fact that it was tevel. Currently, we know for a fact I took off truma. Well, as we said with the mikveh, I mean, how can you say that? You see it's vinegar. No. The same thing is true over here. You see that she's a bogeret. Yeah, but when it comes to the bogeret, we're assuming she became a bogeret only now. Yeah, and by the vinegar, we should say the same thing. We'll assume it became vinegar only now. Yes, but here too you have two chazakas. You have tarte l'reisa. You have a current chazaka extending backwards in time, which says, look, if it's vinegar now, it was vinegar at some point in the past. And you have, furthermore, the chazaka that the tevel was originally osur, and you're trying to say, I took off that isur by taking truma. You got to prove it to me. So if I have two reisas, I will not be able to say, I can be semech on the fact that its current situation is going to be definitive of only now, and therefore of now and not in the morning. So therefore, Shmuel is saying, since over there I only have one reason to cast aspersions on the father's Kabbalah's Kedushin, and that reason is that we currently see her as a bogeret, there's no extra reason, so then, I don't know, I have to actually say that the problem is that really the father as well, we're going to have to deal with that question of the chazaka that we have now. So it may be this whole fancy machlokas over here between Rav and Shmuel about the bogeret is actually dependent on a machlokas tanoim about a very fascinating case. We have a contract, right? And the contract says that I, so-and-so, give so-and-so all of my property. Or I give the following 10 people, and he has a list of every single thing that he owns. Now, these people come, and they take that property. And he didn't write any kind of condition in this contract. But the guy claims, well, what do you think, I'm crazy? I never would have given all my property away. I gave it away because I was on my deathbed. The doctor said I had basically 2 weeks to live. And then, turns out they didn't know what they were talking about, and here I am, a year later, perfectly healthy, and I don't want to give anything away. I need everything. I mean, you think a normal guy gives everything away? So then, in that case, since the halacha normally is, that in the event that we know that someone was a shchiv mira, and he gave everything away, so then we understand that every shchiv mira is acting out of the presumption that he's going to be dead by the time this takes effect. But in this case, where the guy did not indicate, we have no witnesses about what his status was at the time that he wrote the contract. And then what happened was that now one of them takes the property. So can the other one take it away from that one, or he maintains the property? So the Gemara over there, it says in the Braita, says, okay, who has the right to take the property out of the hands of the other? The halacha is that the one who gave away his property can take it away from them, even if they had it, even if they took possession, because he can claim, without any proof, he can claim that he was a shchiv mira. But they cannot do that. And they cannot. So, says Rabbi Yaakov, but Rabbi Nosson Omer, Im Barihu, if right now he's perfectly well and he wants to take the property away from them, then he has to prove that he was not well and that actually was on his deathbed at the time they gave the contract. If currently he's a Shriv Mira, then they're going to have to bring a Raya that he was a Bori at the time that he wrote it, because the Shriv Mira could change his mind. So this seems to be straight out the question of whether his current situation in health is definitive of what it was before or not, which is exactly the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. So Rav is saying, well, Rabbi Nosson is correct, because since we find him now to be well, we have to assume he was well before. If you find him now to be ill, we have to assume he's ill before. That's exactly what Rav said over here. Since she is a Bogeret now, then we assume she was a Bogeret from the morning, right? Shmuel, on the other end, is saying, no, I agree with Rabbi Yaakov. I don't look at the way that he is right now. That's not going to tell us what things were then. So, according to that, it doesn't matter what it is now. That's why Shmuel says, I don't care about what she is now. You're right, now she's a Bogeret. But how do I know what it was that she was in the morning? And at that time, the father accepted Kedushin. Maybe she was a Naira. And maybe the Kedushin is a perfectly valid Kedushin. Straight out Machlokas Tanoim, right? Which is very problematic, because then Rav would simply have said that Halakha Rabbi Nosson, and Shmuel would simply have said Halakha Rabbi Yaakov. And as is usual in such cases, the formula that the Gemara uses is that each side says, no, my opinion is perfectly consistent with both sides. So that's what we do over here. Amalekha Rav. Rav can tell you, why? Why are you telling me that I only work out according to Rabbi Nosson? I am consistent with Rabbi Yaakov as well. Because there we've got a totally different situation. A totally different situation is that the din of finances is always determined by its chazaka. Ika lamemer ha'amed mamon al cheskato. What was the status that this had? If we wouldn't have this contract, it belonged to the guy who wrote the contract. But in this case of the Bogeret, what are you going to say? That let's assume that we're going to keep her in her last status of what? Of a Naira? Well, obviously we're not going to keep her in her last status of a Naira. She was supposed to become a Bogeret today, and tomorrow for sure she's a Bogeret. I don't care what you would find her, right? So you obviously can't say, so let's assume she was still a Naira. We know that she's going to be changing. Where Shmuel says, on the contrary, I would say in this case, Rabbi Nosson would be the same thing, because Rabbi Nosson was just saying that we have a general chazaka, not determined by the guy's current situation. We have a general chazaka. Normally, unless we know otherwise, we do not interject with some kind of new issues. Well, you never know, maybe the guy was on his deathbed. I mean, come on, man, how many people are sitting on their deathbed at the moment that they write a contract? The normal thing is that a person who presents with something, it's face value, the guy wrote a contract like anybody else. So therefore, Rabbi Nosson says, unless you know otherwise, kulei ama becheskas brim kaimei, we have to assume that somebody is in normal health. So therefore, if you want to claim that you are not included in that chazaka, so mandeko mafik nafshim chazaka, the guy is claiming that I was deathly ill, so let him bring proof that he was deathly ill. What is she doing? Is she saying, is she in any way saying that I'm not, certainly if you're on the day in which you change, what are we going to say? That, well, we know that you change in the morning. Of course we don't know that. There are many cases where maybe only tomorrow morning she'll be considered to be a Bogeret after she finishes that last day, right? So there we don't have an assumption of health, wellness, whatever it was that we're saying over here. There's no assumption of anything just because she's a Bogeret now, she was a Bogeret in the morning. That's all I'm saying, that in the morning we still have a suffix, and you never know. Maybe the father's condition was the correct condition. So, no. Okay, fine. I got another case where I think that we have a machlokas tanoim that is precisely the same issue that Rav and Shmuel argue about. Take a look at this. Kitsha via baderech, the kitsha atzma ba'ir. Now this is our case, right? And on the same day, varei boker. So now here's where I say it's machlokas tanoim. We have two brises. One brisa says, Tanachada, harei bogeret lefanenu, which is what Rav said, word for word, right? And the other brisa says, Tanyida, chayshin lekedushin shneim, which is word for word for what Shmuel says. So now, I think that's pretty clear. That it, one brisa is like Rav, and one brisa is like Shmuel, okay? No. Actually, not necessarily. You're kidding. Because you could really learn both of them like Shmuel. How? Because the first braita that says that she is a bogeret, we're assuming a rei bogeret lefaneinu, and therefore she was a bogeret in the morning, and you don't have to worry about what the father did, that's when we notice that she is a bogeret now, and she says, yeah, I mean, I've been like this all day, you know? So she is makheshet, and she claims that she knows she was a bogeret. You're trying to rely on something against a taina avadai that, indeed, we're not going to listen to you. Mashain Kain, the second brisa that says, well, you never know what is in the morning, that's where she doesn't know. So she doesn't say, I was a bogeret in the morning. She says, oh, that's interesting. I guess at some time I became a bogeret. I was never really paying such close attention. Okay, so it could be that Shmuel would be defined by the question of Hakasha. And look, I mean, if you're ready to say, and this is very interesting what you just said that these two brightot don't argue with each other. So now, hold on a second. Did these two brightot say word for word what Rav and Shmuel said? Yeah. And you said they're not arguing on each other? Yeah. So how do you know Rav and Shmuel are arguing on each other? I mean, if you've got a way to actually make these two brises agree with each other, how do you know that Rav and Shmuel weren't also talking about two different cases? One in a case where Makachashto, and one in a case where Eina Makachashto. So, couldn't that be the case? So, the name of Minimatsnaisa lo plige, Amaroi Nami lo plige. If the brises could be understood as being consistent, then Rav and Shmuel didn't do anything different than the brises, did they? They said the same words. Nah, come on. You can't really think it's such a thing. Because we know what actually happened. What actually happened was that once Rav Yosef, Reuven ben Asher Midvil, he paskened an actual case in front of him, according to Shmuel, according to Rav, namely that, look, we don't have to worry about the kedushin of the father in the morning. And when Shmuel heard about that, he was very sarcastic. And he said, wow, amazing. Kule alma kaile le bekaba zuta. The entire world, including myself and all the chachomim that I know of, who would never have had the guts to say that you definitely don't have to be chayshish for the kedushin of the father. Yeah, but that's because all of us, when they were handing out brains, they were only handing out brains using the small kav, you know? But then came along this guy. Oh my gosh. They changed the brain holder. So when he was awarded brains, they gave him the new super imperial gallon sized brain. That's why he knows better than everybody else in the world. And our super brained Rav Yosef Reuven ben Asher Midvil has decided that he knows that we don't have to worry about good old Shmuel's worrying. After all, I say so. What a jerk. So anyway, it's pretty obvious that Shmuel was not agreeing to Rav, right? So, I mean, you're right. In terms of the logic, yeah, I mean, the words maybe, but we know for a fact that they were arguing because Yitzhak lo pligam, if they're not arguing, why was he so upset? I mean, maybe the situation was one in which they weren't arguing about. Rabbi Yosef was talking about a case where the girl said that I was actually a bogeret in the morning. Whereas Rav Ashi says, no, actually, we don't have to worry about the father's kedushin. And indeed, so this clears that sugya. Then tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, we will start talking about the Ne'amanos. other issues of Ne'emanes, and we'll move on now to our Yerushalmi. Meanwhile, wishing all of you poor people who are unable to be with us for the Yerushalmi, we're wishing you, first of all, our sincere regrets and our feelings. We feel for you that you're missing the Yerushalmi. And we also leave you with the brachas to Klal Yisrael of Ashiya Samecho, Varech Es Nachalasecho, or Eim V'Nasem Ad Olam.